This is the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi,
featuring retired FBI special agent Jennifer Coffendaffer.
The trial of Chad Daybell coming to a conclusion, found guilty on every single charge. First degree murder of JJ and Tylee Ryan, including his former wife, Tammy Daybell, and the charges of insurance fraud. They did not find any bit of his story remotely believable. Joining me to discuss, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. Goodness, we've been talking about this one for quite some time. What's your reaction to our verdict?
Well, expected. There was not one ounce of concern or doubt on my part that the jury would not find this, reach this verdict. I mean, you know, I watched the closing statements by the prosecution, and I thought she did a really nice job just outlining everything, walking the jury through the evidence. I thought she did a really good job. There was a lot there. And it was irrefutable.
Very much so. She did a great job of laying everything out. In fact, let's take a look at part of the prosecution's closing arguments in the trial of Chad Daybell.
As they dug JJ up, they noticed a round object covered in black. One of the investigators there cut the black plastic to reveal white plastic. They cut the white plastic, and brown human hair came through. They'd finally found JJ. JJ had been buried with his arms duct taped together, the duct tape running around from elbow to elbow. He had duct tape over his mouth, he had a plastic bag over his head, tape over that plastic bag, and then he was placed in black garbage bags and discarded. That's how JJ was found. Chad labeled him dark. Chad said his death percentage was at zero. Chad said the plan was for he and Lori to be together unencumbered by earthly relatives, earthly obstacles. Chad said those things. And Alex believed Chad 100%.
What do you think was going through Chad's mind there? That's what we saw on the screen if you're watching this on YouTube, was Chad's reaction just sitting there like the oaf that he is. And move his eyes a little bit, his head back and forth, but not really reacting to anything.
You know, exactly. I'm glad you pointed that out, because when we hear the prosecutor, especially when she said, I think it was the portion where she talks about his arms being bound and then the tape around his little body, I thought her voice was almost cracking.
Yeah.
I felt like, you know, we really got a glimpse into this is taken on her as a prosecutor. You know, people think that prosecutors and agents in law enforcement just go through this such that they become totally callous. Yes, they become very callous, and, you know, that many people to deal with this sort of thing. But you see that crack at look at Chad Daybell. Not one bit of tearing or crying, just recounting that. And I remember when I was listening, I get a feeling of, wow, just terrible to hear it over and over, of course.
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting, the whole trial, he was just, I mean, it probably wasn't a very difficult one to coach if you're like, don't react. He didn't react to anything at all throughout the entire trial, which also made him even spookier than ever before as well. Because sometimes even when you know they're guilty, they have some sort of reaction. He just really didn't react to much. There might have been a little bit here and there when his kids were talking, but other than that, they're just, a man that doesn't seem to have any sort of feelings or empathy.
Tony, I just can't imagine any defense counsel coaching their client to not show any sort of emotion when it comes to the gruesome details of a recovery of a child. That doesn't make any sense. So I think I have to possibly argue that he just doesn't feel anything right now. I mean, he has not shed a tear seemingly in this trial, and it's just mind boggling.
There was an interesting picture of John Pryor and him after the sentencing, and Pryor looks very concerned. I was like, okay, buddy, here's what we're going to do. It's kind of what it looked like. And Chad's just kind of like, It was almost comical looking. But I don't know. I mean, maybe if you're about to be sentenced to death, if you are incapable of feeling certain emotions, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe it'll help you exit this world in a better place. I don't know. But it was spooky. I do want to take a look at another piece of courtroom audio here. This was the closing with John Pryor making what I thought was an interesting argument that I'd never heard before. And I don't think it really has any legs, but it is one that kind of makes you go, let's take a look at that.
The next victim. Husband number five. Number five. Just get insurance. Don't worry about saying there's any kids or any beneficiaries or anything like that. Honey, just say it's me and you. And while all of this is going on, all of this is happening, Chad's really good friend, Alex Cox, really close friend, is Googling how to put a bullet through the windshield in the side of a black Dodge Dakota that Chad Daybell primarily drives. The target was not Tammy Daybell. It was not Tammy Daybell. You heard testimony about the insurance. The target was not Tammy Daybell.
And he points over to Chad Daybell in that shot. Interesting angle. Now, I do wonder if at some point Chad also would have been executed for insurance money through Lori, but I don't know. What was your take on that that interesting, I don't know, ploy, if you will, by John Pryor trying to save his client's life?
Well, first of all, I do think that Pryor is a good attorney. Mm-hmm. I think he did everything he could with a bad set of facts to work with. And I thought his argument was actually very good. It was the only argument that, you know, I think you could throw out there and have any sort of sense. But it's really not much of an argument about, you know, the facts pointing to him committing these crimes, but rather that he was going to be a victim as well. But was he going to be a victim as well? Look, I don't put anything past Loy Vallo. And I go back to that clip where he was in his vehicle, I believe his daughter in the vehicle, talking about the belongings, and you know, he's kind of saying, I'm going away for a long time. Gosh, how vanilla. He just seems to have resigned at that point, that the whole thing was over for him. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why we saw no emotion there. And then as far as this argument, I don't put anything past Lori.
That clip in the vehicle was, I'm not coming back. So I got this mattress over here. Do what you will with it. I mean, just like immediately, like, yeah, take anything you want. I'm going to die. This isn't going to work. Like he just knew. He knew, right? I mean, that he really, and maybe that's why he's not reacting. He's just so like, what are you going to do? You got me. But you know, I don't know. I think there could have been other. He could have pled guilty as well and not have to gone through all of this charade. Maybe that would have given him a chance to get, I don't know, some sort of relief here. But clearly did not. But all in all, we are done with this one. Finally, now we have Lori's to look forward to in the coming months. Do you think we're going to see a different Lori when that trial takes place? Now that we know that Chad very much flipped on her throughout this entire one.
I don't think so. I think we're going to see a bunch of the same. I expect a smiling face. I expect maybe a new hairdo and different makeup. But, you know, she seems to treat these sessions as sort of some sort of pageant, at least the last time she was in court. It's always shocking. But in any event, no, I think we're going to see the same song, second verse. And I love that point you brought up, Tony. Why in the world at this point aren't they pleading guilty and just falling on the mercy of the court to put these families, and people seem to often forget the families, what this does to the Woodcocks, mm-hmm. what this does to family members is just excruciating. It's a scab being pulled off with all this testimony again and again, thinking of their little JJ, their little Tylee, their loved one Tammy being murdered.
Yeah, JJ and Kay were incredibly strong throughout this entire trial. It was really kind of amazing seeing them come up and kind of lead the way in terms of, hey, look, here's how we're feeling. We're the closest to this. Here's how we're handling this. Let's kind of be in unity for the sake of these kids. And I hope they can finally find some sort of peace for whatever that means after you have your grandchildren stolen away from you by these monsters. But incredibly strong people that we got to know a little bit during all of this.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.